In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The exhortation from St. Paul to the Ephesians begins with the exhortation, "Be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness." We are called to walk as children of God because that is who indeed we are and have become by virtue of our baptisms. As such, we should walk in love and do the things of God in love. And then St. Paul goes on to warn the Ephesians about specific behaviors that lead to an uncleanliness, that separate oneself from God and are themselves then manifestations of living rightly in the sight of the Lord. But then he concludes, almost as he began, "Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth." What happens in darkness is that Satan is able to get a hold of us, and the power of demons to overshadow us is a real and true thing. It need not be possession, as we think about it in common parlance, for Satan to take hold of our hearts and to lead us in behaving in ways that are not in concert with how we are to be. In truth, we know from the insights of C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters that Satan never comes at us directly, nor does he always necessarily make himself known in grandiose ways, as modern movies and depictions might indicate. He is subtle. He is insidious. He is devious. He lies and he cheats. He obscures and he confuses. He has us in his clutches at the best when he has convinced us in our mediocrity that we are better than others. When he has us justifying behaviors that we know that are not in concert with children of the light, and nevertheless we have somehow convinced ourselves of their rightness. He rejoices not in manifest evil, because men clearly can turn away from that, although the age in which we live today may not necessarily suggest that. But actually, he rejoices in that mediocrity and in that lukewarmness, where we pretend to be and believe ourselves to be, and maybe even periodically will give indication that we are children of the light, but the majority of our lives is lived in indifference, in that in-between, in that mediocrity, and in that ease. These are not easy things to hear and to reflect on about ourselves, nor is it an easy thing to hear of the reality of Satan and the power of hell, and that these things do indeed exist. But we do ourselves a little service if we don't first look at ourselves and do an honest assessment in humility of who we are before God as his children. And nor we do ourselves a disservice if we don't pay heed to those evil spirits that prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. We conclude each celebration of the Holy Mass by intercessing or asking for the intercession of St. Michael precisely to protect us. Then do we believe in those evil spirits and the power that they can do to us, the power they can have over us? And then are we about the business of preparing ourselves and safeguarding ourselves so that those evil spirits may not come and root in our home? Once they have been dispelled, return again and make of us an even worse state than the one we were before. And so the Lenten season is given to us precisely to clean house, to turn inwardly in a way that may at times be difficult and hard for us to achieve, but the end result will be so much greater than the hard work we've put in that it'll be more than worth it. Because what happens to us is not only a restoration to right order, we become children of God, but because God is never outdone in generosity, that state that we find ourselves in before, and truly being restored as children by the shedding of his blood and the mystery of his cross, the state we find ourselves in after is even much greater. How does God improve on us being his sons and his daughters? By allowing us to be his sons and daughters in every single moment of our lives. It isn't just in those moments when we come out of the confessional where things are right, maybe just for those few moments. It is every day, every moment of every day, waking hour used to always give praise to glory to God. So we continue to do the hard work. The third Sunday of our Lenten season is in the middle of this journey, this retreat that the Church allows us to undertake. Now is the time to redouble and triple our efforts, not to look to the end and say, I'm almost there, but rather to say, there is more that needs to be done in order that I might arrive at my end much better than how I actually began. But as I have indicated to you, sisters, as we have been together on retreat, the reality that always rests under all of these exhortations is the degree to which we are actually convicted about the words that we hear, or more importantly, the living word of God whom we are about to receive. If indeed I believe these things, and my life is governed by them, and the life that you have chosen would indicate it indeed that is the truth, then we must always be about the fervent business of reforming our lives. We don't necessarily have to be concerned with the sins that St. Paul elicits or elucidates in Ephesians. But sin, large or small, either does irreparable damage that only God can heal, or by a slow and sure process whittles away at our resolve, doing just as much damage as more serious and mortal sins can do. And so the lives of the saints are replete with making very clear that they wanted to do nothing and have no truck at all with sin in any shape or form. Can we say the same about ourselves as well? Rooting out even the smallest, slightest sin and weeping over those small, slight sins. How hard at times my heart can be, grown very easy and comfortable with so many slights, so many small acts of uncharity toward others, so many interior battles and debates and mean-spirited thoughts, thinking myself better because I'm not guilty of all of these objectively serious sins, but a heart that is so hard that the grace of God almost seems incapable of permeating it. And then I approach the sacraments, I listen to sacred scripture, and I'm reminded yet again of who my true dignity is and what it is that I am called to be, that which I have already become and is a child of God. To not be caught up in darkness or fear, not allowing Satan and his minions to have power over me, but to be a follower of God in our Lord and Savior, who indeed has given us strength to cooperate with the graces that he bestows upon us. And so our work in truth is not yet finished. And might be rightly argued, we are just beginning again. Wherever it is that we may be in this Lenten journey, wherever degree of fidelity we have had to the disciplines that we have undertaken, there is and always will be time for us to prepare ourselves to meet our Lord at the foot of the cross, that we might be worthy to rejoice with him in the new life that he gains for us. So walk as children in light. Put aside the darkness of sin and Satan. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.